You're listening to Valley Edition. I'm Carrie Klein. Desmond's work has also fueled local research, including a study released yesterday, headed by Faith in the Valley, called Eviction in Fresno. FM89's Monica Velez spoke about the findings with three of the authors: Amber Crowell, a sociology professor at Fresno State, Patience Milrod, executive director of Central California Legal Services, and she starts with Janine Nicosi, a sociology professor at Fresno State and regional organizer for Faith in the Valley.
In the majority of cases, folks are evicted because they failed to make rent. But one thing that we did find that was interesting is in 10% or more of the cases, the fail to make rent was actually less than a month's rent. And so that means that people were able to get the money together to pay rent, but then they had accumulated late fees or other utilities. Fees are sometimes included in the rent. And so if they fell short on that, that could also trigger an eviction. And then another thing is there's a common misconception that people are months and months behind on rent before they actually get evicted. And that's not the case. 83% of the people in our study were either less than 1 month, 1 month, or only 1 month and fees behind on rent. And so this is important because the eviction process happens fast. And let me say, we're talking about evictions. We're using this word eviction, but we're really talking about families. We're talking about people who are one day in their homes and they're served with a 3-day notice to pay or quit. And if they can't pay, then it goes on to the courts. And within 5 days, if they can't respond in the courts or they don't respond properly, then they are forced out of their homes.
Patience Milrod, Central California Legal Services. Let's also remember that landlords have a business. This is a business. So it's a little bit problematic for landlords to whine and complain that sometimes their customers don't pay them. That is a fact of life for every single business. The situation for the tenants is life-changing when they get evicted. It is nobody's choice to like, yeah, I don't think I'll pay my rent this month. It is my grandmother just got sick and I've got a or my car broke down and I need it to get to work, or my kid needs X, Y, and Z to go on a field trip. That's the kind of choice that my client families have to make. So to say landlords are somehow immune from what other businesses have to deal with, which is occasional non-payment, that's a little bit problematic. And the consequences for the tenant families are so significant that that's something that we really need to keep in mind as we make policy about this issue.
Is there an area in Fresno where evictions are more concentrated?
Absolutely. I'm Dr. Amber Crowell. I'm assistant professor of sociology at Fresno State. They're in South and Southwest Fresno. That's not that surprising when you think about how segregation works in this city. Fresno is extremely segregated. I think anybody who lives here knows that. And when you map out the data, what you find is that eviction rates are highest, you know, in the southern and southern southwest parts of the city. And that's also where you're likely to find higher concentrations of poverty. And how that came to be, it's historical. If you look into the history of Fresno, you know, the federal government literally segregated Fresno. You can find the redlining map of the city and see how, and this is all tied into housing, see how the federal government chose to invest in housing in some neighborhoods and not others. And they were more likely to invest in neighborhoods that were white and affluent. And when you look at the historical census data of the neighborhoods where they chose to give out those low rate mortgages, it was majority white areas and areas that were more affluent. Those behaviors back then, those institutional behaviors, shaped what we see today in Fresno. The neighborhoods where there are higher concentrations of poverty, where we have a greater housing crisis, they map perfectly onto that redlining map from the 1930s.
And this is a really actually super important point. People tend to think, oh, well, people decide where to live and it's all a matter of individual choice. No, your choices and your options are shaped by governmental action. And frankly, local governments need to wake up and look at their landscape of who lives where and take responsibility for it. The federal government and the state government have said, you, the city, it's your job to make sure that everyone of every color and every income level has a chance to live in any neighborhood. And that is emphatically not happening here. Yeah.
How do eviction rates vary by gender, race, and ethnicity?
So by race, we know that the eviction rates are higher in areas where non-white groups are more prevalent. So again, South and Southwest Fresno, percent white in those neighborhoods is quite a bit lower than in North Fresno and in Clovis. By gender, we don't have that data analyzed, but we know from other research that single mothers are far more likely to be evicted than anybody else. So there's definitely a gender component to it. In terms of race, we know that white households are less likely to be evicted. But the way race works, it does intersect with class. So we can't really talk about those two things separately. In this city where race and class are so intricately connected, you're going to see those racial differences as well.
And if I could just also comment on the gender component, but between 17 and 19% of the people in our study, rent was not the trigger. So there's a whole bunch of reasons that folks are being evicted that have nothing to do with rent. And we talk about gender, you know, one of the cases that is just really difficult, you know, for us to think about is a 21-year-old mother with a 2-year-old child. The neighbors heard, you know, some noise and some yelling, what sounded like fighting. And so the police were called out to the home, and the management also came with the police to go investigate what was happening. The police found evidence of an altercation. They found blood and things in the home. And rather than this mother being protected and safe, her and her 2-year-old child were evicted from their home.
Not uncommon, by the way.
Not uncommon. You know, some of the other things that, you know, we think about the affordable housing crisis, people are being pushed out of their homes and they're having to go rely on their family members. All the leases say that you can have guests, but I think it's for up to 2 weeks. And so we found a very common non-rent issue was unauthorized occupants. And then it would say an adult daughter with her boyfriend and their child were in the home, and they are unauthorized occupants, and so therefore you're being served this eviction notice. That was very common. People are having to make a decision. Am I going to help out my family and my friend, or am I going to violate my lease and risk my housing? And people are doing that, and that's one of the reasons why they're getting evicted.
And on that subject of decisions, and again, going back to the gender differences, one thing that Desmond found in his book that I'm sure we're likely to find here in Fresno, and patients, you probably know of cases like this, he found that people can get evicted if the police get called to their home too many times.
Exactly.
And so domestic violence victims have to make this choice. Do I call the police and risk getting evicted, or do I keep it to myself and keep my home?
And this dynamic is vastly increased when anybody in the home is undocumented. So that people are deprived the protection of that the police might provide, mm-hmm. and face eviction or abuse.
Out of 1,000 cases that we analyzed with precision, in only 1% of those cases did tenants have legal representation versus 73% of landlords. We also found that in 62% of those instances, people don't show up to court. It ends in what's called a clerk default judgment. There are families who cannot go to court because ICE may find out that they are going to have a court date. And even though they might go in and try to fight their housing case, when they leave that courthouse, they are putting themselves and their families in an unimaginable type of situation.
And so where does Fresno go from here?
So one of the things that Matthew Desmond, he has publicly supported in Los Angeles just recently, he wrote a letter to the Los Angeles City Council there. In San Francisco and in New York, and now most recently in Los Angeles, they have what's called a right to counsel. So, you know, we spoke about the huge disparity, right, in legal representation between tenants and landlords, and this would remedy that. So if we pass a right to counsel here in Fresno, then that ensures that any person who is not able to afford legal services and meets a certain income criteria and other factors would have a right to legal counsel. And that is absolutely critical. And patients, you might be able to speak to that even more.
I certainly can. Our Central California Legal Services serves six counties, from Merced to Kings, including Tulare and Mariposa Tuolumne and Fresno County. We've got five lawyers to represent tenants in all of those counties. Just in Fresno, there were somewhere between 3,000 and 4,000 evictions filed. So there's just no way that we can meet all that need. And it is a real need. As Desmond points out, when there's a lawyer representing the tenant, the outcome is much more likely to be the person can stay in their home either permanently or for an extended period, a longer period than they would if they weren't represented. The fees and fines and all of the money that gets laid on the tenant as a result of the judgment, that's reduced. So there are many advantages to having a lawyer, but there's not a way that our firm, which is the sort of the designated law firm for poor people, there's no way that we can keep up. And it's a really important service.
One of the other things that we've seen in other areas and that we want to have here in Fresno is a fully funded emergency rent program. And so that means that if somebody falls a little short on rent, that they would have somewhere that they could go and they could help to fill in that gap. In theory, we have rent assistance programs, but when we were calling to find out, well, how do they work? How many people are they actually able to help? They're absolutely underfunded. Only two places that we could identify were able to provide rent assistance, and one of them told us that every single week, between 20 and 50 people are coming in that they have to turn away because they don't have the funding to meet the need of renters. A lot of the landlords who are serving the eviction, these are folks that have only one property, maybe two properties. You know, these are folks that maybe have a property because it's a part of their retirement plan. And so they might not have a pot of money to be able to, you know, make the mortgage payment if it falls short. And so this would provide relief to a lot of landlords, too.
That was Monica Velez speaking with the research team behind the study, Evicted in Fresno.